Please turn with me in your Bibles now to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis, chapter 1. This morning, I want to focus especially on verses 6 through 8 of Genesis, chapter 1, which is day 2 of the creation week. But I want to back up and begin the reading at verse 1, and I'll read from verses 1 through 8, and then I'll skip down and read verses 20 through 23 as well, because they correspond to the verses that we're going to look at this morning, as we shall see. Before we hear God's word, let's join our hearts together once again in prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank you for revealing yourself to us in your works of creation and providence and in your work of redemption in the person of Jesus Christ. And through the Holy Scriptures, we thank you, Father, that you have made yourself known to us, not only as our Creator and Sustainer, but as our Redeemer and Consummator in Jesus Christ, whom you raised from the dead and exalted to your right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and rulers and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Lord, this morning as we hear the Scriptures read and preached, we pray that you would open our eyes to see and our ears to hear and our hearts to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, for we ask this in his holy name. Amen. Genesis chapter 1 and beginning in verse 1. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us hear the word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. Now skip down to verse 20. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. This is the word of God. Now this morning, I want to focus our attention on the second day of creation. On day 2, God creates the expanse and separates the waters under the expanse from the waters that are above the expanse, and he calls the expanse heaven. Now, you may have noticed that days 1 and 2 follow the same threefold pattern. God creates, separates, and names. God creates the light and separates the light from the darkness and names the light day and the darkness night. That's day 1. Then God creates an expanse and separates the waters under it from the waters above it and names the expanse heaven. That's day 2. Both days follow the same threefold pattern. God creates, God separates, and God names. And day 3 also follows the same basic pattern. The first 3 days of the creation week form a unit, a triad, and they address the formlessness of the earth. In verse 2, the earth is in a chaotic state. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. But on days 1 through 3, God brings structure, order, and form to the formless, disordered, and unstructured earth. And he does that by making, as we noted last Sunday, earthly realms. And then on days 4 through 6, he makes earthly rulers to rule over those earthly realms. So God forms the earth first and then fills it. He forms it days 1 through 3 and fills it days 4 through 6. As we noted also last Sunday, the first 3 days of the creation week correspond to the last 3 days of the creation week. Day 1 corresponds to day 4, day 2 to 5, and day 3 to 6. On day 1, God creates the realms of day and night, and on day 4, he creates the sun and moon to rule over those respective realms. On day 2, he creates the realms of sky and sea. And on day 5, he creates the birds and the fish to rule over those respective realms. On day 5, God says, and this is verse 20, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So the birds of the heavens and the creatures of the sea inhabit the realms that God created on day 2. The sky and the sea. And so on day 2, God creates the earthly realms, and on day 5, he creates their earthly rulers who inhabit them and have dominion over them. And the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea are therefore creaturely kings, so to speak, who govern their creaturely kingdoms, so to speak. Their dominion, as we will see, is that of occupying their realms through multiplication. God blesses them and orders them to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the realms which were created for them. That's how they rule over those respective realms. Now, I want to focus our attention more closely on what God does on day 2. If you look back at verse 6, we read, "And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse." Now, what exactly is that expanse? And what are the waters that are above it? What does that mean? Thank you. The word that is translated expanse in the ESV, the translation from which I am reading, is sometimes translated firmament. And that word comes from a Latin word, firmamentum, and the Latin translation of the Bible translates the word that way, firmamentum. And the older English translations of this word tend to use the English word firmament. Now, the Hebrew word that's translated expanse here, or in the older versions, firmament, the Hebrew word is not used very often in the Old Testament. It's only used, actually, 17 times. It's usually, in the ESV, translated expanse, or sky, or heavens. And the Hebrew noun, in verse 6, translated expanse, comes from a verb which means to extend, or to spread out, or to stretch out, like you would stretch out a curtain. It's kind of like pulling a fitted sheet over a mattress, or at least trying to do that, attempting to do that. You stretch it out, you pull it out from one corner to the other, and then go to the next corner, one corner to the other, and it never works. The firmament is like that. The firmament is like a canopy. God creates the firmament as if he spread out or stretched out a canopy over the earth. The firmament, or the expanse, is elsewhere described in Scripture poetically this way. For example, let me read to you a couple of verses. Psalm 104 says the following, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent." You see that poetic speech. Now, a similar saying is in Isaiah 40, verse 22. Isaiah the prophet says, "It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. So this expanse, this firmament, which God in verse 8 calls the heavens, is poetically described in Scripture as a curtain that has been spread out by God. It is spread out like the canopy of a tent. Now, that's a fitting analogy for what's going on in Genesis chapter 1, given the purpose of creation, which we have already noted in previous sermons. God creates the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God created the heavens and the earth as a cosmic house for himself. He created it as his dwelling place, a house in which to dwell. Now, later on in the Pentateuch, that's the first five books of the Bible written by Moses, God instructs the Israelites to build for him a dwelling place, a house, the house of God. And that house, of course, his dwelling place, is the tabernacle, which is a tent. And that tabernacle was a symbolic replica of God's original creation. A symbolic replica of God's original creation. And the veil of the tabernacle, here's really what I want you to see. This is where I'm going with this. The veil of the tabernacle. Now, that's the curtain in the tabernacle that separates two chambers of the tabernacle. The one chamber called the holy place from the other, the inner chamber called the most holy place. The veil, that curtain that separates those two chambers, was a symbolic replica of the firmament that God created in the beginning on day two of creation, that God spread out like a curtain, like a veil on day two of creation. Now, if you can imagine the tabernacle being turned up on its end, so that the most holy place of the tabernacle, the inner sanctuary, is at the top, then you can imagine that curtain, that veil, being spread out like the firmament that God spread out on day two of the creation week. Now, behind that curtain, or above that curtain, if you imagine it being stood up on its end, is God's throne room, the invisible heavens. And everything that is below that curtain belongs to the visible realm, the visible world. The heavens and the earth constitute a cosmic tabernacle, a cosmic house. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth as a cosmic tabernacle with two chambers, an upper chamber and a lower chamber. And his upper chamber is invisible. His lower chamber is visible to us. The upper chamber is presently invisible to us. And the expanse, that is the firmament, that God spread out like a veil, a curtain, in the beginning on day two, is the boundary between those two chambers. The firmament is the visible heaven that marks the boundary between the visible realm, or the lower chamber of God's house, and the invisible realm, the upper chamber of God's house, where the luminous glory of God is presently visibly on display to all of the hosts of heaven. Now, the firmament is an earthly, visible replica of the invisible heaven. It's an earthly, visible replica of the invisible heaven. That's why it's called heaven in verse 8. God called the expanse heaven. It's called heaven because it is named after its invisible counterpart. It is an earthly, visible replica of the invisible heaven, its invisible counterpart. And so in verse 8, God creates an earthly replica of the invisible heaven that he created in verse 1. And that earthly heaven, the firmament, is like a curtain, a veil that is spread out, that separates the visible realm from the invisible realm. Now, that's how Scripture frequently speaks about this firmament. Now, let me show you some examples. In the book of Acts, chapter 7, and this is the story of the stoning of Stephen. Stephen, who was one of the seven ordained by the 12 apostles in Acts chapter 6, was preaching and teaching in a synagogue when the unbelieving Jews rose up against him, had him arrested, and had him brought before the Sanhedrin for trial. And Stephen gives his long defense speech in Acts chapter 7. And at the end of the speech, he condemns the unbelieving Jews because of the hardness of their hearts, their stiff neck and their hard heart, which they have hardened against God. And they rise up against him. They are enraged at him. They grind their teeth at him. They are enraged. They're infuriated because of his speech, and they rise up to stone him, and they do stone him to death. But we are told in Acts chapter 7, verse 55, "But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit," now listen to this language, "gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God." The glory of God sets heaven ablaze right now. God created his invisible heaven and he set it ablaze with his luminous glory spirit. Stephen saw that. He looked up into heaven and he saw the glory of God. And what else did he see? And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And Stephen said, listen to how he puts it, "Behold, I see the heavens opened." There it is. "And the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." He saw the heavens opened. He saw the veil pulled back. He saw the curtain torn. The heavens were open, and he saw what was above it. Now, here's another place where we see the same language, and that's in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, and this is recorded in Luke and in Matthew as well, chapters 3 of both Luke and Matthew, but chapter 1 in Mark. And this is the narrative of Christ's baptism, and what occurs when Christ was baptized. Mark 1 verse 9 says, "In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water," listen to this, "he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove." What does that sound like? The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. It's an echo of Genesis 1. But the heavens that are torn open here are the heavens created on day 2, Genesis 1, 6 through 8. Now, what happened in Mark chapter 1 was a prophetic sign of what is going to happen at the end of the world. The heavens are going to be torn open, and the Spirit of God, the glory Spirit of God, will descend to the earth and set the earth ablaze with God's luminous glory, just like it already illumines the invisible chamber of heaven. So God's invisible upper chamber, the most holy place of his cosmic tabernacle, will become, on that day when the heavens are torn open, it will become visible to us. Now, Revelation 11, 19 is another verse that I think bears this out. It confirms this. Revelation says that God's temple in heaven, those are the words, God's temple in heaven will be opened, and the Ark of his covenant, that's his throne, will be seen within his temple. God's throne is in heaven, and heaven is his temple. And the heavens will be opened, and we will see it. Now, you may also recall that Jesus said to Nathanael in the Gospel of John chapter 1, when he first met Nathanael, and he told him, "Behold, an Israelite and whom there is no deceit, no guile." Nathanael said, "How do you know me?" And he said, "Well, I saw you sitting under the fig tree before you were called." And Nathanael believed that he was the Son of God. And Jesus said, "Do you believe because of this? You will see." Here's what he says to Nathanael, John 1, 51. "You will see heaven opened." There it is. Heaven opened. "And the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." That's Christ. He is the link between heaven and earth. He is the true tower whose top reaches to heaven, on which the angels of God ascend and descend, and of which the Tower of Babel was nothing but an idolatrous counterfeit. Now, we'll see that, Lord willing, when we get there in Genesis eventually. But Christ said, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on him, the Son of Man. Now, that's what we are going to see at the end of the world. Heaven will be opened. The curtain, the firmament, the expanse will be removed. It will vanish away. As Scripture puts it, it will be rolled up like a scroll and will vanish away. Now, it is beyond that curtain, that veil, that Christ has gone. Christ cannot be seen by us. He is hidden from our eyes because he ascended through the heavens to the highest heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, Scripture says that his ascension through the heavens was his going beyond the curtain, beyond the veil. Now, that veil currently hides him from our eyes, but at the end of the world, that veil will be torn open, and we will see him coming in all of his glory. Now, the firmament was not meant to be permanent, just like the sun and the moon, which God created to rule over the spheres of day and night. Those were not meant to be permanent. Those realms will be destroyed, the realms of day and night. The earthly rulers over those realms, the greater light and the lesser light that rule over the day and night, will be destroyed at the end of the world. And so too, the realms created on day two of creation were temporary. They were never meant to be permanent. God created the expanse, the firmament, and the seas below the firmament. And these are temporary realms that will pass away, Peter says in 2 Peter 3:10, at the end of the world. At the consummation, that curtain separating God's upper and lower chambers will be completely discarded. It's only a temporary boundary marker. And one of its functions here, as we find out in Genesis 1, is to separate the waters below it from the waters that are above it. God created an expanse. He separated the waters that were above the expanse from the waters that were below the expanse. That was one of its functions originally. That function will no longer be necessary in the new heavens and the new earth at the end of the world because there will be no more sea. Revelation 21, verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And so the two realms created on day two, sky and sea, are both destroyed at the end of the world. But until the consummation, the firmament, the expanse, remains in place and separates the waters that are above it from the seas below it. Now, what exactly is meant by the waters that are above the firmament? That's one of its roles or functions. God created the expanse. He separated the waters that were above the expanse from the waters that were below the expanse. But what exactly are those waters that were above the expanse? Well, one theory that you may have heard before is that the sea is divided on day two into two regions, an upper region and a lower region. There is the lower sea, but then there is the higher sea, the sea that is above the firmament. And the firmament, usually along with this interpretation, is the idea that the firmament was a solid dome, or is a solid dome, like a glass vault that holds up a heavenly sea and keeps it from flooding the earth, except for in the story of the flood, that is the flood of Noah in chapters 6 through 8 of Genesis, when we hear that God opened the windows of heaven and he let that heavenly sea pour out once again on the earth. And the whole earth was once again covered in water. Now, you may have heard that theory before, and I think it is right to call it a theory, and it's, I don't believe, an accurate interpretation of what the Bible teaches. I think it is a misinterpretation of Scripture. Scripture frequently speaks of the waters that are above the firmament as the waters that are contained in the clouds. and the opening of the heavens is rain. And the closing of the windows of heaven is the cessation of rain. Scripture always speaks about it that way. It's consistently spoken of in that way. Now, whenever you have really thick, dark rain clouds gathering above, it looks like a floating sea. Thursday night when I drove home from here, there was a floating sea above me. And it was raining so hard when I got home that I was waiting in the car till it stopped raining and called Kathy to let her know, and she said, it's not supposed to rain till 5 a.m. So I walked through the floating sea coming down on me. There's not a solid dome up there. There never was. It's just a misinterpretation of Scripture. I would say it's an over-literal reading of Scripture, but it's not even accurate to call it that. It's a misreading of Scripture. To take Scripture seriously, you can't interpret it that way. But it does look like a floating sea, a sea of floating rain above us whenever the clouds gather. Now, whenever the flood of Noah occurs, what God prevents from happening here in Genesis chapter 1 happens. God creates an expanse. He divides the water that is above the expanse from the water that is below the expanse, and that creation, fiat, act of God, is undone in the flood. And the whole earth is once again covered in water, just like it was prior to day 2 of creation. The flood of Noah is a destruction of the earth and a destruction of all life that is on the earth. It was the undoing of creation, and it was a prefiguration of its final, consummate destruction at the end of the world. That's why our Lord Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be at the coming of the Son of Man, when Christ returns. Now, we know after the story of Noah, as God helping us, we will see when we get there, God puts in place a covenant, a common grace covenant, and promises in that covenant never again to destroy the earth with a flood. He holds off judgment, postpones the judgment of this wicked world until the very end of the age. And the reason he does that is so that his promise of redemption can be fulfilled, which it was in the fullness of time with the coming of Jesus Christ, and the gospel of Jesus Christ can spread through all the earth, and God can bring about the salvation of all of his people. And so that promise that God made, never again to destroy the earth with a flood, still holds to this day. And the rainbow was given as the sign of that promise. And it will continue to be in place. That promise will continue in place until the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's when the final judgment will occur.